Welcome back to the Modern Real Estate Agents with Johnny and Lizzie Phillips.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope everyone's doing good today.
Yeah, we are back. We've been on vacation. Our kids had birthdays. It has been a time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you guys just want to know what's going on with us personally, so we'll tell you all the things. We have a visitor in the basement.
That sounds really weird.
We do. Tell me you're wrong. Tell me you're wrong.
No, you're right. We have Nata, our au pair. Her best friend is in town.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that.
All the way from the Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we got two Swedes in the basement. How weird does that sound?
A little weird.
A little weird.
But
it's true.
It's been really fun having her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So guys, I had a thought yesterday.
What?
I think everyone made it through the worst of it. I feel like 2023 was a really dry time for people.
Mm-hmm.
And, I know it's getting better because people are just calling us up out of the blue and they're like, hey, we need your help.
Yeah.
We're getting so many just sphere and referrals right now.
And what's interesting, sorry, continue.
No, I just feel like, I heard a lot of people talk about how hard it was in 2023. Our numbers went down a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the way that things are just naturally picking up without any effort right now,
yeah,
I think is a strong indicator of this is going to be a great year.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is last year, I felt like January was our boom.
Mm-hmm.
And then this year it's been March.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Like it's just a little bit delayed. I think people just were kind of unsure what was going to happen.
Absolutely. You know, everyone's been sitting around waiting for interest rates to drop and they've been a little up, a little down, yada, yada. You know, CPI didn't come out exactly where we wanted it to, but I still think it's going to be great. I think that people are just conditioned now. People are used to, okay, sevens is where we are. We live in the sevens right now.
Hope that's not the future.
Well, I mean,
it would be so nice to be able to refinance.
It would be, but it's the present, right? And for people who want to buy a house or people who need to buy a house, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. I think that that's an important mindset to have that, yeah, sure, it'd be great if things were at five again mm-hmm. or four, but no, this is what it is. And if you want a house, mm-hmm. if you want to buy or sell, then okay, these are the cards you have to play with. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what does that bring us to today, Johnny?
Okay. So this is episode two of my three-part series. I'm excited about today. It's about nudging, guys. I was unfamiliar with the concept of nudging until my best friend Mark, whose wife is like pioneering this whole psychoanalytical neuro thing, research.
Right. Wow, you could have just said research.
I could have. Yeah, so she was telling us about it a couple months ago, probably a year or so now. But it was really interesting. And I was like, oh, yeah. Like, these are things that I know about. These are tactics that I employ. These are things I'm familiar with. I just didn't know that they had a name.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to spend a little bit of time in the beginning talking about what nudging is and how to do it ethically. Because if you push too hard... Then
did you hear that sound?
I did. I don't know what it was.
that was my throat.
I was like, it wasn't me. That was you.
That was my throat. Yeah. I'll edit that out.
Please don't, because otherwise people are going to wonder what we're talking about.
That was funny.
Yeah. So guys, we're first going to talk about what is nudging. You want to guess?
Well, you're
sitting there reading it.
I'm reading it. So I kind of already know.
Yeah, so it's subtly influencing someone's choice or guiding someone's choice or behavior without restricting their options or changing the financial incentives. And I think that that's a really big part of it in what we do in real estate is we have a financial benefit to get people to the closing table and close and move on to the next one. So as you do this, you have to make sure that you are conscious of that, cognizant of that, and not... employing these methods to kind of churn and burn your clients.
Yeah. I mean, I think what's the thing we're not allowed to do? Steering.
Oh, yeah, sure.
So it's a little bit of a fine line between.
Well, yeah. I mean, steering, I think that's
more like trying to get people away from.
Yeah. In that context is more about
but that's still
getting people in.
You can.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
Steering is nudging. Nudging, yeah.
Yeah, like there's absolutely. It's a very fine line of like, okay, here's the thing though, is like sometimes we can see what the right decision is for our clients that they can't see for themselves because 100%. They're like in it. And it's interesting, I'm working with a family right now and what they came to me looking for, they are starting to have to compromise on some things. And it's interesting because I'm seeing what they're willing to compromise on and what I would think that they would compromise on is very different.
Sure.
But I think they're also just deciding to be patient and wait for the right thing because
right.
they're feeling a little bit of pressure, even though they don't have pressure. And I'm like, let's wait, guys. Like sometimes you have to do what's right for your clients, even if it may not be what's economically right for you.
I think the correct answer to that is all the time. You have right? to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Not sometimes, but like,
but
there are agents out there who all they're in it is to win a, you know, get a buck and win a deal. And they're just going to push people to do things they're not going to do. And let me tell you, they're not going to end up being happy in that house and they're going to blame you.
100%.
And then they're not going to become repeat clients. So if you want to gain clients for life, you need to sometimes like really forego your own ego and your own, I want to get this. I want to win this. I've got a goal. I've got a deal. You know, like you got to go back down to the human level of like, why are we doing this? We are helping people achieve their goals.
Bingo. Absolutely. I mean, that is your job. You are to guide them, right? They are coming to you and paying you because you are the professional.
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to be the professional. Even in that great case you talked about, if that means, all right, guys, let's take a step back. Because you are. You know what's in the market. You know how the market fluctuates. You are the professional. And if it's in their best interest to say, okay, let's not just keep digging into this and grinding into something that's not working, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So guys, nudging is all about recognizing that just like Lizzie said, people don't know how to make the best decisions for themselves sometimes, right? You know more, right? They may not know about their biases. They may not be aware of them or the lack of information that they have or don't have, right? So there's so many outside influences and subtle things, little nuanced things that you on the outside can see and be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is where you really employ your skills to help them get to the right decision.
Yeah. Yippers.
So let's talk a little bit about the ethics of nudging.
Yeah, we kind of talked a little bit, but.
But yeah, so you can nudge or you could manipulate someone.
Yeah.
And sometimes the line between them is a little blurry, right? Because in one sense, you could say nudging is manipulation because you're pushing someone in a direction.
Yeah.
But the difference is when you're nudging, you're not eliminating anyone's options.
Yeah.
Right? You aren't coercing them to do something. But your primary aim is to assist them in getting in the right direction. Right? You're benefiting the individual, not yourself. Yeah. I think that's the underlying thing. That is the underlying difference.
Yeah. I think it's hard because I could see how someone could think of nudging as manipulation, but I think the biggest thing about nudging is that you are trying to get someone to make the best decision for themselves
100%. In a way.
Like you're trying to at least just keep things moving.
Yeah. And I think that in a big way, nudging is just reframing a scenario so that your client can see it from a different way.
Yeah. Is your next slide the life example?
No.
Can you just go to that one? I feel like that's so much like right now. Where'd it go?
It's at the end. Go in which one?
Okay. I got that one.
This one here?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So this one just happened.
That's what I was thinking of when you just said about reframing. Do you want to go through that one real quick?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So this is one actually we just closed last week. I have a client who is awesome. Fantastic client.
Really good person.
He's a great person. He's a great business person.
Yeah.
He had a very healthy budget, right? Everything about this client was 10 out of 10, right? Loved him as a person. It was great to work with him. We found a perfect house.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was just over the moon about it and he really liked it. But suddenly when we started making the offer and negotiating, his main priority was no longer the House. His priority became winning the negotiations.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense with what line of work he's in.
Oh, 100%.
He's very much in a career where there's a lot of negotiating happening.
Yeah. I spoke to him this morning.
Yeah.
We referred a painter to him that we use. And he's like, I got $2,000 off the price.
No, he did not.
And I'm like, that's just the kind of guy he is.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, dude.
I would never.
That's what I said. I was like, I just would have taken the $8,000 quote and gone with it. Okay, but good for you, man.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. So again, this is just in this guy's blood. And his initial offer was a low offer. And I was like, oh my God. But listen, I'm here to represent you, man. Let's give it a roll. And we did really well.
Yeah.
But it came down to $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I looked at him. I said, client, seriously? I just want you to think about this. If going after this $5,000 means you lose the opportunity to have this house, was it worth it? And we know, we've gone over numbers, we know that $5,000 is going to be zero difference in your monthly payment.
Yeah.
Makes no difference at all. And he goes, I'm really glad you said that. Thank you. Because he would have kept fighting and we may have lost the house.
Yeah.
We may have gotten it. Who knows? But if it meant them losing the house, I think it's important for him to see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your wife loves this house.
Yeah.
It's great for your kids. It's great for you. Okay. Think about it. $5,000. Is it worth not getting this house and throwing yourself back into the market?
Yeah. I think it was a really good, scenario for sure.
Yeah. And he was so appreciative.
Yeah.
I spoke with him this morning and he's just so excited about this house.
Good.
Everything about it is great.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We want to be friends with them too now.
Oh, I'm friends with them. I don't know where you are.
Well, I actually am friends with his wife now on social media. I think we're going to be real friends. They came to Liam's birthday party. It was so sweet.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, they didn't even bring their kid. They just came.
No, they just came without their kid. It was great. It was so funny.
But again, that was all about reframing the scenario because he was stuck in his lane of thinking, I'm going to win this negotiation. I'm going to be the guy on top here. When really that's not what this was about. That was not the most important thing.
Yeah.
And I think that just allowing him to see that.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, thanks.
Exactly. I mean, it's a type of nudging that's, you know what the clients want. And sometimes we have to get them out of their own way.
You're not going to believe this.
What?
You're not going to believe this.
What?
Again, talked to the same client this morning. Yeah. On his desk was a book titled Getting Out of Your Own Way.
That's hilarious.
Swear to God.
Were you just like,
Well, no, I didn't mean anything to me until just now.
That's so funny. Did you say something about the book because you're reading now? Which caveat.
Oh, yeah. I'm doing 75 hard.
Johnny is doing 75 hard.
And I am reading The 4-Hour Work Week. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm very skeptical about it also because it was written in 2006, I think.
Oh.
Okay. Which is, to me, very relevant. Because 2008-09 is when everything went to shit. So yeah, this guy's doing great. Of course he's doing great in 2006. Everyone was doing great in 2006. I want to know how he did in 2010. That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's funny. That would be interesting to find out.
But I do want to work less and spend more time with my family and traveling. So I figure why not give it a shot? I got to read. I have to read 10 pages a day anyway.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know what 75 hard is, what is it?
So it is a mental challenge. For 75 days, I'm not drinking. I'm working.
Drinking alcohol.
Drinking nothing. No, I'm not drinking alcohol. I am drinking a gallon of water a day.
Which has been interesting.
I mean, I pee my ass off. Okay.
How have you done one already? Half gallon?
Yep.
Good job. Thanks. Before 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
That was one thing. I was like helping him read up on it because I was like, I cook for our household. So for him to do this, I had to be on board and make sure I can help. And so I was like reading about the gallon of water thing. And so I got him this big half gallon jug. And then also was like, you need to finish your water before like 4 or 5 o'clock. Everyone says, otherwise you're going to pee all night long.
Luckily, I have not had to get up in the night and pee, but I will seriously pee like every 30 minutes for portions of the day.
Yeah.
It sucks. But okay. I have 2 workouts I have to do every day, at least 45 minutes apiece. One of them has to be outside, which is about to get interesting because we're having this amazing storm. So.
But you already did your outside workout today.
Yeah, but what if it rains in the morning?
It's not going to rain tomorrow.
Yes.
But you need to start looking at the weather before.
Well, I figure I'll just go downstairs and I'll either do it in the garage with the garage door open, has to count, or I'll do it downstairs in the covered patio.
You can't do that.
Why not?
That's where our tenant's sleeping.
Well, I'll just like jump rope or something.
Because that's not annoying at 5 in the morning. Absolutely not.
All right, the garage is this. I'll just move the Tesla.
Yeah, I guess you need to Google that and make sure that counts. Because if you fuck... I forgot this is the other podcast.
I can cuss on this one.
If you fuck it up, my other one, I'm trying not to say fuck on, okay? I've got 9 episodes and haven't said fuck, and I feel so good about myself. Anyways,
Because our kid says it all the time.
Oh my God, you guys. It finally has happened. He really is cussing.
Fucking chaos. Fucking chaos.
Okay, so we were outside the other night and we were having a bonfire and the baby was like trying to crawl to the fire. Liam was like falling on the ground, rolling around, like just being, and it was like screaming and yelling. And I'm like, it is fucking chaos on it out here. And Liam's just yelling, fucking chaos. Fucking chaos.
Just running around. It really reminded me of... Sorry, nothing. Dear Lord. Ignore me. I just had like a brain lightning going somewhere completely irrelevant. But...
what?
So yeah, fucking chaos. It reminded me of, if you guys have seen Talladega Nights, where the kids are running around yelling, anarchy!
Oh yeah, but even worse.
Even worse.
But okay. It was funny because you gave me crap about that. Or no, then one other day, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Or something like that. And then Liam just walks over and goes, what the fuck? What the fuck? And Johnny was like, well, this morning he was going, what the hell? What the hell? I'm like, oh gosh. But he knows these are adult words and he's not allowed to say them until he's grown up. Does it work? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
We haven't been told yet he said it any of them at school. So, we've almost made it through the school year with no cussing.
We do know that he breaks crayons and hides them under the table and then, like, steps on things and breaks them and rips things apart.
He's gotten better at that, she said. She was like, that's what, like, his teacher told us the other day. And she said that he's gotten really good at that, not doing that. So, that's why it surprised her that he was just breaking crayons and hiding it. So, he, like, knew he wasn't
supposed
to be
doing it.
It was my fault. Yeah, it was Johnny's fault, actually. Because he broke a crayon at dinner on accident. And Johnny was like, it's fine. Now you have two.
So I'm wrong.
In his head, he thought he was just making more for everybody.
I mean, listen.
I think what he was doing was cracking them, leaving like part of it so that everyone else would have one, but then he would have all of his own colors because they were doing one by one colors.
Maybe so your kid's like, just a genius.
He's kind of smart, I think.
Oh my God.
But he's also my kid.
What are we talking about?
Okay. I know.
Because we took so many lefts there.
Okay, I know back where we were talking about. This is our first rabbit trail. You were talking about how you were going to work out in the garage. And I was like, well, if you fuck it up, then you have to restart at day one. So read up and make sure you don't fuck it up.
I totally forgot we were talking about 75 hard. Like, so. Completely forgot.
We can get back to what we're supposed to be talking about.
Ooh, let's see. I wonder I just want to make sure I'm not missing anything on 75 hard.
Oh, okay. So,
well, this is day two.
You have to follow some kind of a diet.
That's true. Mediterranean.
He's doing Mediterranean diet, which I pretty much cook anyways.
It's very easy for me to transition into that.
Yeah. Like it's
super easy.
It's not that hard because we mostly cook that. Mm-hmm. You're just not doing sweets.
Yeah. No sweets.
That's the biggest thing. Although last night I was like looking up some Mediterranean diet desserts. Like you can use dates to sweeten things and bananas. And
ooh, like your protein balls?
Yeah, I think I can do the protein balls.
Ooh, she likes the balls.
Yep.
Okay, nudging. Guys, how can you as an agent effectively use nudging? All right. Again, these are a lot of strategies that you already employ, probably. if you are not employing these, you need to, because this is just your toolbox as a real estate agent, right? Yeah. Identifying your client's needs. Use leading questions, right? You may say, hey, what's top 10 on your list? And they may not mention anything about their kids, but if they have kids, you kind of want to go down that rabbit hole because it's a big deal.
That's a great point. It's like if there's something very obvious that you can notice, you mm-hmm. need to ask about it. Like if someone mentions their dog in a conversation, but they don't mention that a fenced-in backyard is important, you better believe it's top on their list.
For without sure. even
they just think some of these things are like givens, I feel like.
Well, they do, and they don't know to identify it themselves.
Yeah, you need to have a good way of kind of going through a list of things. And if they don't have kids, you still probably need to ask the question, is being in a specific school district important to you? Don't ask a good school district. Is being in a specific school district sure. important to you?
Sure. And I mean, even like me and my best friends, I can think of two client occasions where I've worked with best friends and I've not known how to broach the subject of, hey, you don't have kids yet, but are you going to have kids? And you know, looking,
don't do it.
No, I wouldn't even go there. Looking back, I was like, man, that was a really dumb thing to do because one of them had a miscarriage. I had no idea.
Yeah. Johnny is very insensitive. Unknowingly. He's not like purposely trying to be.
I'm aloof.
But that is something for men out there. Like, do not ever ask a woman about this. Ever. Because you don't know what she's going through behind closed doors. So, or for that matter, a married couple, or not even married, but like a couple.
I may just call him and apologize at the end of this because he probably never took notice of it, but maybe he did.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, you should.
Okay.
We've worked with him a couple times. Anyway, simplifying choices. That's another thing that you can do, guys. There are a bazillion choices out there for houses and different parts of houses, but you know, one of the things that you get to do is push things out of the way. Sometimes you don't need to show them every single house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I have a client right now whom I love, and I will show them four houses that I have to drive an hour and a half away for, just to help them. But you don't have to show eight houses in a day.
There's no physical way that you can do that because I really think four or five is the max. I did three this past weekend and even the houses were running together in my head. I'm like, wait, what did that one have in the master bath?
Like, oh my gosh. Yes. There's nothing better than putting together like a checklist. I've done that for clients before when I know we have a big day, like, okay, kitchen, squirt 1 out of 10. And that way you have those records at the end of the day for everyone.
Like, oh, that's a really good idea. Yeah. Right? But I would say no more than four or five, unless the client is like from out of town and you really don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But if you could space it out over 2 days, that would be better.
Absolutely. You're just trying to avoid overload.
Exactly. And it's just, it is exhausting. People are trying to make a decision and they're getting way too much information by seeing way too many houses.
Decision fatigue is a real thing. You just talk about decision fatigue for a second while I restart my computer.
I know. I don't know why this happens every time. I think it's really important because if a client's going, you know, where was it going? You just distracted me.
I distract a lot of women.
Okay. I don't know about that, but.
So you are trying to help your client make a decision at the end of the day, right? Mm-hmm. And if it means taking out options that you know are just distractions.
And I think
do that.
Yeah, I think it's important to go through the list with your clients and say, now this house has no basement, but we've talked about how basement is really important to us. Are we going to go see this house? And kind of talk to them. And then let's say, okay, so like this is how I like to do it too, is if I take clients out and see three or four houses, during that day, if they have said anything that they don't like about a house, I'm going to say, okay, so in the future, like if they don't make a decision on any of those houses,
yeah.
In the future, we're not going to go and see any houses that are X. We're not going to go see any houses that are Y. Because if it's already off the table, we're just wasting everybody's time.
And I like that way of doing it because you gave them the opportunity.
To see, you have to. I mean, they have to know that they're not going to like these things. Sometimes you really do have to show them a wide variety of houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Okay, good. And I like that. other than the other, another way of showing houses is just opening the door, letting them in over and over again. Just, you know, letting them flounder basically is what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you don't help guide them.
Get closer to your mic and talk quieter, please.
I'm sorry.
He is like a wanderer and it makes my editing so hard.
I'm a wanderer. All right. Positive framing, guys. This goes hand in hand with what we just talked about. When you see things in houses that they like or that they've talked about, point them out. Remind them why they like that thing about that house, because they're going to be overwhelmed with seeing this whole new house they've never seen before.
Yeah.
They're going to be looking up and down. They're not going to notice that it has a gas range like the wife has to have so that she can do her catering or whatever she's doing, right? Mm-hmm. And that's point out the important things to them because they're going to forget them. I'm going to skip the next one and talk about creating a sense of urgency. I think that creating a sense of urgency is important. Don't go overboard because I do think that can lean towards manipulation.
Yeah, but we have some clients that we're working with that they've missed out on one house because they didn't have that sense of urgency. Absolutely. And they waited a couple of days. And so now they have a rule that they make a decision within 24 hours. And sometimes they come back even sooner now. But you have to tell clients that no matter what market we're kind of in. Because any house could go fast.
Yeah. Even in, you know, even if you show a house that's been sitting for 90 days, I see it happen all the time. You put an offer in and they're like, oh, we got two other offers yesterday.
I just said that to another client. I'm like, I know you guys wouldn't believe me when I tell you this, but it happens.
Yeah. So real life examples, we've talked about a lot of these. So I'm just going to kind of blip through them real quick, guys. Sorry.
Go back up. There was one more on that one.
Choosing the houses.
Oh, we already talked about that. Okay, yeah.
Encouraging clients to get pre-approved and sign a brokerage agreement. Mm-hmm. I think that both of those things should always happen before you open a door for a client. But some people are not aggressive enough to make sure clients get those. So it could be helpful to frame why those are so important.
And here's something I just learned this last week. That was a good learning experience for me. These clients I'm working with, we are going to be selling their home and they're going to be buying another one and they want to find the home that they want to move into first and then have the contingency to sell. So we did find a house we were considering putting an offer in on, and we had a conversation and I was like, okay, look, like if you guys want this house, we've got to get your house photos done by Monday and this needs to be listed by Thursday of next week. And that's saying a lot. That's asking a lot of the sellers to let them let you have basically 10 days to get it on the market. And so it was kind of a good realization for them and for me that like, hey, we're not totally ready to get our house on the market. Absolutely. But what we're going to do now is get everything ready. We're going to go ahead and get photography done on their house now so that when we find the right house, we're like, hey, we have photography already done. We could go live tomorrow if we had to.
Yes. And I think that that's super important when framing why getting a pre-approval on the buyer side.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not ready to pull the trigger when you find the house,
it's a waste.
It's such a waste. And you need to tell them that's what's going to happen.
Well, and also they don't know how much they can afford. They need to know what that monthly payment's going to be and just say like, look, I will not show houses without this.
No.
And if they're not willing to do that, then they're not a serious buyer and you're welcome. You got your time back.
I mean, yes to all of that. Unfortunately, I think you're absolutely right. If they're not willing to get pre-approved, they're not willing to buy a house.
No.
And you're wasting your time. You're going on field trips.
Exactly.
And a buyer brokerage agreement, not everyone does it. I'm really bad about this, but that's because I know who I work with.
Yeah. I mean, we mostly work with Sphere and Referral now.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not worried about showing my friend five houses and then using someone else. I know that's not going to happen.
And if it does happen, then you did something wrong and they should find someone else.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I guess we probably are too trusting in people, but we also have an abundance mindset that what's meant to be will be and what's not will not.
And I mean, if we're going to be completely honest, a buyer brokerage agreement isn't going to stop anyone from leaving you.
No, it's not. It doesn't really mean anything.
No, it's never going to hold up. Your brokerage is not going to chase anyone. So don't rely on that. If you just get it signed and are going to be a crappy agent, it's not going to work. But you do want to frame it as you want to sign this because it means you and I are working together. It means I can work best for you.
Mm-hmm. Which is all true.
All absolutely. But if you don't know, if you don't know your script and you don't know how to tell them those things, then you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
And they don't know. Again, these clients don't know anything about real estate. No, they don't know why it's important for them to sign it. So you need to know. How'd I have that one on there twice?
I'm so confused with what he's doing right now.
I'm just going up and down, guys.
Well, I think we made it to the end.
I think we did.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about as far as nudging?
No, I mean, I think this is a great topic because we are the professionals. We need to help people make the best decision for themselves. I mean, I hate comparing ourselves to doctors, but doctors are giving advice all day long. And a lot of times they're nudging you in the right direction because they know what the right treatment is for you.
Oh, that's a good example. Yeah.
And so like we're real estate professionals. We sometimes do know what the best thing to do for our clients is. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard because we are in a profession that is not taken very seriously because there's a lot of people that are just fucking around in it. And so we have to be the ones who are the true professionals to be professionals.
And if you are that professional, you're going to have the staying power.
Exactly.
I think hopefully if you're here, you want to do this for a long time. So you really need to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just unlock doors for anyone that calls you.
Mm-hmm.
It's insanity.
Mm-hmm.
You will not last because you can't pay for your own damn gas at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I could talk about that all day long. So I will keep you guys up to date on how to work only 4 hours a week.
Yeah, let us know how that's going to turn out.
Well, I mean, if I employed a showing assistant, that would really free up my time.
Yeah, it would.
But
I enjoy it. I enjoy doing showings, especially with friends. It's kind of just like hanging out with friends.
It really is. That's why I really like us doing Sphere and referrals.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right, guys, I think that's all I have for you today. We do have one more episode in this series. I hope that you are enjoying it. I know I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
You know, but I work here. So
we got to get back to our training. I'm still training for my triathlon.
I know. How's that going?
We had a rough start with my knee injury, and that's all healed up now. And so now we're really going full throttle. We biked yesterday and
over 2 miles,
3 miles,
3 miles.
But it was not very fun because where we live is very hilly and there's stop signs every 20 feet. And so you're like stop, start, and there's going downhill was like so painful. Like my wrists are so sore today.
Really?
From like grabbing the brakes so hard.
Yeah, we need to look into that.
Yeah.
So these are
tighten my brakes down.
Road bikes, you know, with like the handles that go down the side. If anyone knows how to do that more effectively as far as like, you know.
I YouTubed it. I think we can tighten it.
Oh, good. Okay.
But yeah, it was a rough day and we realized we really got to work on our cycling because we've been really focusing on swimming and running now. But this was our plan, was to really focus hard on those two because that'll give us more endurance.
I feel like those are the hardest ones. Like the bike will kind of roll, right?
I mean, yeah, not uphill. It's not rolling uphill, let me tell you. But where we are, our race is going to be, it's not a ton of like super steep hills.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we did yesterday was probably more than what the whole race will have as far as hills. There were not that many.
Yeah.
Because me and Natha drove the course because we're like, okay, we got to know what this is going to be if we can even do this. And I think we can do it. We just, right as of yesterday, our pace was 5 miles per hour because of all the stopping.
I run at 5 miles an hour.
No, you don't.
I do on the treadmill.
You do not run 5 miles per hour, honey.
I'm going to take a picture.
Are you at the five level?
Yeah.
That's not 5 miles per hour, honey.
You don't know that.
I know that because that's what I run at. And it's not. You look at the pace on the side. 5 miles per hour, I think it's 13. Or the level five is 13 miles per hour.
I'm going to take a picture today, guys, and you're all going to know the truth.
It's going to be me, the truth. Like you hit it to go up to number five, right?
You don't know me.
Is that what you're doing?
I'm watching the miles.
No, you're not. You're not. There is no, honey, you are not. I love you so much, and you are not running a 5 mile per hour pace.
5 miles an hour is not very fast.
I think it is.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am running at a 5 mile per hour pace. Maybe I don't even fucking know.
Yeah, I think that's like a 10-minute pace?
Maybe no, it's 12. It was okay. It's like 13 minute yeah. pace. Okay, would that equal an hour about?
Everyone's just sitting here watching us do math in real time and realize we can't do it. Yeah.
I mean, 12 minute, 12 times five.
Is 60. So that's right.
Okay. But I don't think the five is, look at it today when you do it. When you do like the five level, what is the pace? Okay. Let me know.
Just sitting here being right.
I don't think he's right.
Okay, guys, we will let you
go. You're
more
right. You're more right now than I thought in the beginning.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, guys.